My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Carl Jung, the father of analytical psychology, once said, "Often the hands will solve a mystery that the intellect struggled with in vain." Novelist Kurt Vonnegut Jr. said, "Astrology and palmistry, they are good because they make people vivid and full of possibilities. They are communism at its best. Everybody has a birthday and almost everybody has a palm." We know that we may hold with our hands, but do we know what our hands hold? Is there a way that each of us may examine the myriad of shapes and lines that adorn our palms and gain insight into our paths and futures? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Helene Saucedo, says we can and has crafted a kit and guidebook to do just that. Helene Saucedo is a hand analyst who provides private readings out of her vintage camper and travels the country with her craft, lecturing and reading at shops and events such as Bonnaroo, Dirty South Yoga Festival, and the Lumi Summit. She also has a background in design and art direction with more than 10 years' experience working with such brands as Turner Broadcasting, Cartoon Network Latin America, Steve Madden, and Macmillan Publishers. Her website is handfulofstarsreading.com. She lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and joins me this week to discuss her brand new palmistry kit and guidebook, Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook and hand printing kit. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Helene Saucedo. Good evening, Helene.
Good evening. Hi, Victor. Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us. This is really a fascinating topic. Please share with our listeners about your path and how it led you to palm reading and analysis.
Okay. So most people are very surprised when I tell them that I've only been reading palms for coming up on 2 years. So the way that it found me was very serendipitous. My background is in art direction and graphic design. I worked my way up to art director at Macmillan Publishers in their advertising and promotions department. And I got pregnant when I was living in New York City and didn't want to have a baby in that town. I wanted to move closer to family. So I moved to Georgia and I decided I wanted to also change, you know, more of my life to suit having a child. So I was looking for that next move for myself. In the way that a lot of people do, especially that come to get palm readings, asking everybody, what do you think I should do? Getting tarot card readings and talking to all my friends. And then one day I was getting my hair done and just drinking some wine, and me and my friend, you know, kind of brought it up, and I was about to go to New Orleans. And I know they're pretty famous for their palm readers on the squares. So I was thinking, you know, Atlanta, where I live, has a lot of tarot readers and Reiki practitioners and mediums and energy workers, but there were no palm readers. And I realized that was kind of a large scale thing. Like, where are the palm readers? So I went and I got my palm read in New Orleans. It wasn't the best experience, but it was enough to make me really want to look more into it. So my friend that I had come up with the idea with kind of dared me to do it at a Christmas pop-up party at her salon, and I went along with it. But when I started studying, I think I had like a week in which I was going to teach myself palmistry. I started studying these books, and they're just huge and full of information about every single characteristic about the hand. It was overwhelming. So as a graphic designer, I created my handprint cheat that comes in this kit as a cheat sheet for myself, really, to guide me through a reading, to come up with a formula in order to, you know, make it easily digestible for myself and explainable to the client. So the first night, I think I did it for $5 a pop, but everyone loved it. And so I also realized I was hearing a lot of interesting information and life stories and making really beautiful connections with people while I was doing it that first night, which got me really, really, just jazzed to keep trying to do it. So I rode that wave for a little while of just learning and growing and studying. And a couple months into it, I thought, you know what? I don't really see anybody doing this in the way that I'm doing it, in a way that is modern and young and fresh and not negative, because there's so much, you know, most people think of palm reading as, oh, you know when I'm going to die, or you're going to tell me, you know, some big prophecy. That's not that at all. And we can get that to that in a minute. So 3 months in, that's when I really kind of went for the book deal, because people were asking me how to learn. And I realized that everything was just really, it's all the books I was learning from were taking themselves just a little too seriously. And they weren't doing it in a way that most people would have the time to, do for themselves. So that's where, you know, the idea for my kit came. And that's how I got to where I am today.
It's interesting that once you decided that this was the path you were going to pursue, it took on a life of its own, didn't it?
Oh, completely. And it's one of the things I tell people when they come to me looking for life purpose or for inspiration to find their next phase in life, is just it's going to find you and it's going to take you for a ride, and you just have to kind of follow. I didn't realize, 2 years ago that I was going to be a professional palm reader, and that's what, my career was going to be. And I don't think anybody would expect that on themselves. It's very, very random and unique. But, things find us in the funniest ways, and we just have to be open, and you have to follow the breadcrumbs that you're given in life. That's my belief.
Absolutely. Now, I have to ask, was there someone in your family background, perhaps a mom or a grandmother, who had some type of psychic ability or gift?
No, not that I know of, not that I'm aware of. And actually, I don't consider what I do a psychic gift. I think my journey has been very, very unique. I believe that my gift has been my intuitive hits as to what certain things mean on the hands, some things that I've figured out in terms of modern life that maybe haven't been viewed in that way because of the people I'm talking to. In Atlanta, we have a huge metaphysical community, a huge artist community, and they overlap very heavily. So I'm talking to a lot of young people, and there's so much going on in terms of gender identity and sexuality, and there's so much raw and open conversation about that I've been able to put some of that stuff together in the hands, as well as some of the like more psychic metaphysical gifts, but in a way that it doesn't feel like psychic. It feels more like problem solving, but that were gifted to me. For example, I read two mediums in one day, which I don't, that's kind of a huge serendipity in itself. But I was looking in a spot on the hands where Spirit Guide lives, and I noticed this one mark that looked like a sideways Y. And to me, I put it together that this was some kind of funnel to the spirit world, and I now call it the mark of the medium. And I continue to validate that on any hand that I see. So that's the journey I'm on, not necessarily psychic as in touching somebody's hand and getting information about them, but in how I'm figuring out the different interpretations of marks on the hand.
When we think of palm reading and analysis, it conjures up the romantic and often stereotypical images from books and movies. You call yourself a modern palm reader and hand analyst. What's the truth behind the history of this art and science, and how does what you do differ from the past?
I would be really interested to find where exactly everybody, got this impression of it being this kind of prophetic doomsday, you're going to die exactly, situation. I've learned from modern hand analysts where it's been more personality based. And that's just been my journey as well. As far as history, I mean, there are moments in history where that has been recorded. You know, the Greeks, Chinese, Indian, I mean, palm reading has been through all cultures. So there's really thick history, but none of it has been extremely well documented until the 1800s.
And what was that?
Well, the 1800s is when there was a lot more books being published because of the printing press coming out. So that's when we see books coming out telling how to read palms, William Benham, the famous Kiro, who was psychic as well. But all of those more society-based palm readers were publishing the work that they were doing.
I think my first exposure in fiction or in media to palm reading was the great actress Maria Ospenskaya with Lon Chaney Jr. in the movie The Wolfman. And she takes his palm and sees a pentacle and she says, "My son, even a man who is pure of heart and says his prayers by night can become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright." And I'll never forget that.
So that's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
I haven't seen that movie. I did, you know, palm reading wasn't Harry Potter. Right. It wasn't Eat, Pray, Love. So we do still see it popping up in pop culture. But I will have to watch that movie.
Absolutely. My guest this evening, Helene Saucedo. She's the author of Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook and hand printing kit. And we'll be back with more of Helene after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this evening, Helene Saucedo. She's the author of Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook, and hand printing kit. Helene, why has palmistry lasted through the ages as an approach to divination? What do you think?
I believe because it is such, it is a part of our bodies. It's tangible, and everyone's hands are different in a way that is unexplainable and fascinating. And if you start looking at people's hands and thinking about it, you can really get it sucked into this ideation. So everyone's hands looks different because it's a representation of each person's different energies. And once you start to learn just a tiny bit about what it means, you only get pulled further down and down the rabbit hole. So I'm surprised it's not more popular than it is right now, but I'm hoping to kind of bring it back a little bit.
Is there something about the intimacy of holding someone's hand that contributes to this?
Oh my gosh, yes. That is, when I first started doing it, I was a little uncomfortable holding hands. Now I have no problem, and I really feel like I'm also Reiki attuned because of that. So I feel like the hand holding, it brings a bond and it brings a safety and a comfort. And maybe there is shared information that happens there that I'm unaware of, but there definitely is a shared connection. Everyone I meet and read, I end up holding their hands, except for one person. One person, I read it, I think it was an autistic child who didn't want to be touched. And I was, that was a learning experience. So now oftentimes I say, do you mind if I hold your hands? But just that human touch that we don't usually touch each other. We can shake hands or hug, but to hold a stranger's hands for, 15 minutes is not something most people do on the daily. But it is a very special part of my craft that I often don't even think about. So thank you for bringing that up. It's special.
Yeah, I think it would lend intimacy to the relationship, to the trust that's imbued when the reader and the analyst works with the client. You had mentioned being Reiki attuned. Do you do anything when you prepare for a reading with a client in terms of creating a sacred space or clear energy or dispersing negativity?
So I am a believer that all of those intentions are inside of every one of us. You can use all of the tools, the crystals and the sage, the Palo Santo, but ultimately, we are responsible and capable of setting our boundaries for negativity or anything that, we don't want to enter our space and our energy. That being said, I do read out mostly out of my vintage camper, especially one-on-one readings that can last a bit longer. And I control that space. It's also very, it's kind of unicorn themed. So it's just the feel of the camper is bringing in more positivity and lightness than if I was in, an office or, a metaphysical shop that has a lot of energy traveling through it. So that's helpful as well.
So it comes down to the old adage that everything is energy and intention guides it. And just by setting your intention, you've actually created the space and done everything you had to do to prepare. How did you choose the camper? How did that, or did the camper choose you?
That was serendipity too. So all of this was actually sparked by a huge life change for me. After I moved to Atlanta and had my baby, I was married at the time. I'd been married to a man for almost 10 years. And it was that big full lunar eclipse in September of 2017. Everything shifted for me. And I decided to get a divorce and to come out of the closet as gay without a job and without a clear path. And so I cashed out my 401k to buy the camper as just kind of a safe place for me. So I wouldn't have to worry about being homeless or anything like that. And honestly, I feel like having that kind of to fall back on allowed me to manifest the things that I have.
Mm. May I ask, what was your age at the time?
Yes. I was 37.
Interesting, because as I was sharing with you during the break, I had a major change in life in my late 30s also. Do you think a lot of people who are going to have that shift have it at around that age?
I think it's all in the stars. I think it's up to your astrology, because when now looking back, I've had astrologers look at what was happening at the time, and there are a lot of people that in my age range that also had big shifts happen at the same time. So I just think it's all dependent on what the sky says for you.
Yeah, it's fascinating that. But the other thing about it is that if someone is in that age group, or at any age actually, and you're not happy with your life at that point, you always have the option of making a change.
Absolutely. And there was, I just knew, there was just a moment where I knew I had to make a change. And I did. And it was a huge jump into the unknown. And so part of my part of my message to people is kind of an inspiration of, you know, when you're facing just the darkness of light of life without knowing where you're going, you just have to trust and find those breadcrumbs and keep following your heart.
And when you decide to make the change, really decide and say, this is it, I'm doing it, those breadcrumbs will appear whether you want them to or not. Exactly. And really start giving you guidance.
I mean, if I wouldn't have made that change, I wouldn't be where I am. I was actually coming from a background, you know, in design where all of my peers were winning awards for doing, you know, advertising work for other brands. But now I am putting out my own creation. And if I wouldn't have made that change, this never would have happened. I would have stayed in my little safe box. So I don't regret it, even though it still hasn't been an easy change for me.
Very quickly, some of our listeners know my background, but I had been in business. I'd been spiritual as a kid, and sort of in my late teens, that sort of dried up for a little while. And I had been out of the Air Force into a business career, which I'm in 41 years now. And in my mid to late 30s, I had a calling to start taking yoga classes. And the yoga classes then led to facilitating meditation. And facilitating meditation then led to Reiki. And then Reiki was like the accelerant that just blasted everything open. And back in those days, if you wanted to do laying on of hands in a hospital, even if it's Reiki, you had to either be a licensed massage therapist or ordained in a faith where laying on of hands was considered to be a sacrament. And of course, becoming a massage therapist with a full-time job was out of the question, but I learned of an organization called the New Seminary of New York, which was an adult education seminary for interfaith ministers, and I started that in 1995. My first marriage came to an end. I met someone else who was the most wonderful woman who unfortunately passed away after 3 years, and that's another story for another time. But we attended the seminary together. And through the graduation of the seminary, later on, after my partner at that point had passed away, I met another woman who had been also a student at the seminary, and we fell in love and have been together now for 20 years, married for 15. And we also both served as chaplains for the Red Cross after 9/11 here in New York, have been doing spiritual counseling and all kinds of crazy work with folks for years now. So, yes, it made a major change in my life following those breadcrumbs.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure I have a lot to come. But
absolutely. Well, you're a very young person compared to me. So yes, you have a lot more to come. But yeah, but that's the thing I'm trying to express and share with everyone is if you feel that your life is not working for you right now, there is always the opportunity to make a change. Just do it. If you think about it and don't act, it's not going to happen. You have to take the action. And that's exactly what I did and exactly what you did. And it's a wonderful thing that we have been able to not only make those changes for positivity in our own lives, but also to help others in the process. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course.
Now, please explain what a reading is like with you when a client comes to visit.
Okay. So when a client comes to my camper, it's usually about 45 minutes. They come in and I have the sheet and my ink and roller all set up for them. I usually, you know, I get to know them a little bit before we start. And then I ink their hand and give them my spiel about what my belief system is and how it's going to go. And it really then is guided by the building of the reading. And that's what is special about this sheet that I created, is that it's really starting top level, you know, more hand analysis style, looking at the shape of the hand and the thumb in a bunch of ways. And then diving deeper into the palm to see if any themes are coming up through looking at the elemental shape of the hand, which can also correlate over into astrology, which is right now a point of fascination. I'm practicing being able to guess somebody's sign through their hands, which is just blowing my mind. And then we look at the mounts on their hand, which represent different archetypes. And the very last thing that we get to is the lines. I know most people think about, you know, the lines on the palm as what palmistry is, but the lines they can get very specific into different pieces of our lives, and they work on timelines, which is what is most fascinating. So different marks on the lines will show different life events, and you can nail it down to a year and say, okay, what happened to you at 37? And you might be like, oh, well, everything happened. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what's on your palm. So it's really a guided like personality profiling journey, but also it becomes storytelling into a person's life, which can be a really beautiful journey.
And I assume you get a lot of wow and aha moments with folks.
Yes, but I get them too still. Like, that's my favorite part, is I never know how a reading is going to go. And I'm constantly surprised at the information that I uncover with a client. And I always feel like it's almost teamwork, because it's my background and what I've learned, but it's also them telling me, you know, how it makes sense to them. So it's like we're working together to solve this puzzle that's a piece of their body.
My guest is Helene Saucedo. She's the author of Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook, and handprinting kit. Helene, please tell our listeners where they can get your wonderful kit and book and find out more about you and your work.
So my kit is coming out October 15th, and it will be available all over. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, all the bookstores and booksellers you can think of. And they can find me. Instagram is my number one, and that is at @handfulofstars_readings. I am on there. I am kind of dedicated to being very interactive in that space. So any DMs, I know a lot of people kind of put up a boundary, you know, don't DM me, but I really like connecting with people. I don't necessarily want to read your hand for free on Instagram, but I will often do a little crowdsourcing fun where I'll say, okay, all Libras, because it's Libra season right now, Libras, send me your hands, and I'll compile an Instagram story that shows the hands of all the Libras, and you will see the patterns, which is really, really fun. So yes, everybody, please join me on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, but I'm not as active there.
And your website, handfulofstarsreading.com.
Yes.
We'll be back with more of Helene Saucedo and A Handful of Stars after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Helene Saucedo. She's the author of Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook, and hand printing kit. Helene, is the information in the hand immutable, or may someone make life changes that also changes their palms?
Oh, the palms change, definitely, but they change as we change. So oftentimes somebody will enjoy a palm reading so much that they'll ask, oh, can I come again in a month? And my typical answer is, well, if you change your life in a month, sure. But if you're going through a day-to-day routine where you know you're going to work and you're just doing your thing, then your hands probably aren't going to change very much. It's all relative to the life that we're living. So it's interesting with children. I recently read a handful of children at a festival, which was really cool because they were all very open and enjoying it. But kids' hands are very much blank slates because they're really kind of still in that process of figuring out who they are. And so there isn't much life or identity on their hands. I have a four-year-old, and I am watching her hands as she grows to see for myself firsthand, no pun intended, how that, you know, how that process is going to go for her. So I'm trying to do my own experimentation with that.
At my age, in my mid-60s, I actually made a significant change a year ago. Would that have reflected in my hands?
I bet it has already reflected in your hands. So I have a thing that I usually say. I don't believe that our hands are like a Harry Potter map, you know, where
yes,
mm-hmm. and overnight there's like glowing things happening and it changes. But I do believe, you know, as our body regenerates, that these things can come up. And I have had people come to me. It's usually just a line or two that have shifted or changed, and they notice it. And they'll say, well, what does this mean? So what I tell people is, if you take photographs of your hands in the daylight, that really captures all of those marks on your hands, and or doing a handprint as well. And then you can refer back and see if, you know, if those changes did indeed happen.
Is every hand unique, and would identical twins have differing palms or the same palms?
So there are some genetics that are involved with the overall characteristics of hands, and it's fascinating for me to read families, different generations. Recently, I read three successive generations of women in their hands, and they did have the same shape and overall texture, but the story in their lines were different, and their fingerprints were different. And fingerprints actually hold a lot of information, especially about things like life purpose. I didn't cover that in this book because I felt like that would be a little too much for, you know, somebody that was kind of dipping their toes or doing it for fun. But that is something that I look at. So, yeah.
You mentioned dipping toes. What about toes and feet? Can you read toes and feet?
I cannot read toes and feet, but there are some cultures that do read feet for sure. So I made an April Fool's joke this year where I rebranded myself as Foot Full of Stars. And I redid my logo as a foot, and a lot of people took it seriously. They're, Helene, you're reading feet now? Hands are enough. There's enough puzzle in hands for me to be fine for a long time. But yes, some cultures do read feet.
Now, you sort of touched on this in the first segment. You were talking about the shape of the hands. What did the shape of our hands tell us?
So that's where I would look at the elemental shape of your hands. So the basic proportions between our palms and our fingers represent one of the four elements: earth, fire, air, water. So if somebody comes to me and they open their hands, I usually get a hit right away as to what sign they are or things that are happening in their chart. It might not always be their sun sign. So if somebody has a really long hand, that's a water hand. And they might have a lot of water elements going on in their natal chart. But overall, it's just describing that piece of their personality, which is more of that water style, emotional, empathetic, creative, connected, that kind of thing.
And what about the thumbs?
Thumbs can actually say a lot. There are books out there that could tell you all the things to read in thumbs for like an hour. So there is the famous like hitchhiker's thumb. If you have a really curved thumb, that's adaptability. Mine is more straight up and down because I'm pretty stubborn. You can also learn about decision making in the thumbs through the proportion of the top and the bottom, logic and will, or planning versus action. There's a lot in a thumb. The overall shape, how large it is a measure of determination. I can look at personality type, introversion versus extroversion, in the angle somebody holds their thumb naturally. So there's quite a bit to be learned just from that little guy.
Let's touch on that one more time. You said the top of the thumb and the bottom of the thumb, depending on the size, what are the attributes? I'm sorry.
So if you give yourself a thumbs up, you see that there's a line that divides the thumb in half.
Yes.
You have the top portion and the bottom portion. The top portion represents logic. The bottom portion represents will. And how they are visually in proportion with each other is how that works in your decision making. So I read a lot of people that have a larger top to their thumb, and that's someone who's really planning If they're more of the same size, that's a balance. And rarely I will see the bottom part be longer, which is more will. So that's a lot of risk taking.
That's fascinating. You know, I know there is so much you can offer and teach to us about the various lines and mounts, but perhaps you can take one line or so and discuss the way that it's interpreted in terms of depth and breaks and things of that nature. Pick a line and just give us a little rundown.
Pick a line. Okay, the headline. I really love the headline. That says a lot about a person. So the headline is the second line down in the hand that comes. It starts about, you know, a couple centimeters under the first finger and goes across the hand, kind of in the center. So the overall shape of that line, if it's curved downwards like a half moon, or if it comes straight across the hand, that can say whether you're rational, which would be the straighter line, or more open-minded and adaptable, which would be a more curved line. So something that was 45 degrees would be a balance between the two, and I do see a lot of that. So a break on the headline could represent a time of, I would say, mental despair or trauma or a big change or decision that you had to face that was, you know, a big energetic shift. So if it splits, like if it opens up, that's usually an opening of the mind to a perspective, and that usually lines up at a time in the life where you are forced with a lot of changes, but usually for the better. If it ends in a triangle, that's somebody who has writing gifts. And if it goes all the way to the bottom side of the pinky side, that's the Mount of Luna down there. And that would be that connection with your mental self and your intuition. Just being able to tap into that when you need to and shut off some of that rationality and connect with spirituality. So there's a lot in the headline, the very beginning of the headline under your first finger, that's childhood stuff. And that can be very interesting, the way that it relates to the lifeline as to how you were mentally as a child, if you were more willful and independent or if you were more sheltered.
And what about the depth of the line, whether or not it's prominent or very shallow?
So the deeper a line, the more energy, your personal energy is focused there. But it also is relative to the rest of the hand. So if I'm reading a hand that has all very light lines, you know, then you read the darkness relative to the rest of the lines. But, you know, some people will have very dark headlines, and that just means they're really relying on their mental capabilities to kind of guide them through life. Other people might have really deep lifelines, and that's people who are really trying to experience and, you know, enjoy and love and live their lives, whereas some people have a deep heart line, and that can be a lot of focus on, you know, your emotional needs or boundaries or journey.
That's fascinating. With today's technology, can you do private readings remotely?
Oh, yes. I actually love that because it's a real challenge. I do remote readings, and I send an information sheet that I think there's 5 photographs that I ask. It's both hands, basically face up and from the side, so I can see all the lines and all their mounts. And it's really funny how accurate those can be. And I deliver a pretty thorough report that's probably 8 pages long, and it really kind of walks someone through every way that I'm gaining the information so that they can learn and also understand what it is I'm talking about. And I usually follow up with a video call to talk about that and what it means with them. But I consider those cold readings because I'm not holding their hands and I'm not connecting with their energy. So that's fun for me in a way, because it's testing all these things that I believe in that are really kind of unseen. but again, it's those aha moments and the people that respond that say, oh my gosh, you know, this is so cool. How did you do that? And thank you for this guidance. That keeps me interested for sure.
I know that the personal reading, the in-person reading, rather, is something that creates that sense of intimacy, the touching of the hand, holding the hand. But in terms of energy, the way I see energy is the energy that is emanating from the photograph is the same energy that would be emanating if they were in person with you, right?
Yes, definitely. But there is something for me about the in-person that just is so special, you know, just to be able to physically connect. So I do prefer in-person, but the remote readings are accurate and just as accurate.
Do you ever have someone get emotional during a reading?
Yes, definitely. I hear it all. I hear, for some reason, people tell me, I tell everyone at the beginning of a reading, you know, if I ask you a question or if I say what happened here, you do not have to answer me. You can just say, oh I know, you know, next. But I hear it all, and I hear some really tough stuff. Sometimes it feels like, you know, I'm very empathetic. I'm actually, my sun and my moon are in Cancer, so I just feel all the things, but I really feel like that's helped me become this kind of professional holder of space, because I know I can't fix those things. All I can do is, you know, hold the space and tell them that I understand and just tell them that their hands are validating that experience, which I think is liberating for people and cathartic.
Absolutely. My guest is Helene Saucedo. She's the author of Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook and hand printing kit. And we'll be back with more of Helene after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school? Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Helene Saucedo. She's the author of Handful of Stars, a palmistry guidebook and hand printing kit. What inspired you to create the kit?
I would say the inspiration came from multiple people that asked me where they could learn how to read palms. I think it was the third time I got the question for a book recommendation that I was like, okay, something's happening here. I need to pay attention to this. And I went back to my old connections in publishing and I said, hey, I don't want a favor. I just want some advice. I think there might be an opportunity here. And then we just made it happen. It all kind of fell into place.
I must say, I have not received the actual kit yet. I'm going to get it. But from the photos I've seen, this is beautiful. It comes in a beautiful box, and this would be a wonderful holiday gift, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. I don't know if you can hear my smile, but I am so very happy. So, you know, I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, and design is very important to me. And so that it fell in the hands of the imprint Harper Design of HarperCollins was just, again, such a gift. And I am very grateful to how it turned out. My ex-husband actually designed the logo, and I kind of put the rest of the package together and worked with my editor to bring the brand to life. So I'm extremely happy with the way it looks.
And what does the kit include?
So it comes with everything you need to print your hand and read your hand. It has a ink roller and a pad of ink and a silver pen, just like I use. And in the back of a guidebook, there are 8 of the purple pages that are the sheet I designed that you would follow to read your handprint. So the rest of the book is the guidebook. I think it's about 90 pages. And it's as thorough or as quick as you want it to be. You don't have to read the history if you don't want to. You can go straight to what does this line mean. but I like to think it would be a great holiday gift because it's almost like a game in which you could do with your friends or a group of people, a Halloween party or Christmas party. Parties are actually my favorite to read personally, because then you can see all the different ways that hands can be and compare and contrast and call each other out. That's really, really fun to do with a group.
Now, I'm a good writer, but when it comes to artistic things, drawing of any kind, I have literally 2 thumbs. So my question is, if someone like me, who is not really artistic in that sense, how would I be able to make these handprints?
Oh, for sure. So the instructions for making the handprint is very easy. You're just rolling the ink onto your hand. And I use a towel, actually. That's a good hint. And I'll probably put a tutorial or something on my Instagram page to help people do it. But if you put a towel underneath the paper and you push up from the opposite side with your other hand, that can really get to the arch of your hand to help get those lines. So I will definitely be putting out a tutorial just for people who need a visual reference, which is important to me. And that's why I made this kit, was because I feel like the visual guidance is very helpful for people.
Why is it important for people to be able to read their own palms?
I think it's kind of like tarot or, you know, runes or anything of that nature, where it's self-reflection. It's almost self-discovery, but it's almost psychology. You know, you're thinking about your life in another way, from another perspective, and that can bring about different thoughts or ways to process. And I try to be very, very ethical and also very optimistic with the way I present palm reading. So I'm hoping it can be helpful and more constructive, whereas maybe some books in the past, you know, tend to get a little too, you know, into the dark side of things. So, I mean, overall, self-discovery, self-reflection, it's all food for thought. It's all helpful in terms of, you know, talking about these breadcrumbs in our journey. Maybe there's something you see in there and that you didn't realize about yourself, and you have a light bulb that's like, oh gosh, I am creative. I didn't think I was. And that can change things.
You know, I was just going to discuss that. You were reading my mind literally on that, that the recurring theme of our discussion this evening is about these breadcrumbs that happen. I mean, for you, this discovery was, as you said, about 2 years ago, and in your mid to late 30s. And the changes in my life happened at the same time. And that by creating these prints and learning how to read them, people can actually be inspired to make major life changes, can't they?
Oh, for sure. And even the smaller life changes can lead to more happiness or joy or freedom in your life. So all the things that the spiritual community has to offer, I feel, give us a clue here and there for things that we're looking for. So definitely, the hands, they really do hold a lot of information about who we are and As long as you're doing it with an open mind and from a place in your heart, I do believe it can give you some guidance. That being said, sometimes I do a reading and people always tend to hold on to that one thing that was like a tiny bit, you know, like a button, like, oh, she said it was sensitive. So being open, I believe, is important, and taking things with a grain of salt as well.
Have you done readings for folks where you've identified traits for them that they weren't aware of and inspired them to go on and make changes in their life?
Oh, for sure, especially creativity. And of course, that's something that fuels me coming from art school and a design background. One of my biggest triggers is when people say I'm not creative, and that is so untrue. Every human being by nature is creative, and we just think for some reason that it's only the Picassos and the Pollocks. But, you know, it's if you're cooking, if you're decorating, if you're raising a family, if you're problem solving or, you know, critical thinking, that's all creativity. And so I love seeing that frame of mind change in people when I tell them that, you know, and then they feel like, oh, okay, well, I didn't think I could be special like that, but maybe I am, you know.
Without violating but giving away anyone's name or anything, give us one or two examples of someone who's made a change after having a reading with you.
Oh, so a lot of those come in the beginning. I feel like the beginning of my journey, those changes that people made really, really stuck with me. There was a jewelry designer that I read, and you know, she had a day job as well. And she had kind of let her basement studio, you know, gather dust and wasn't really into it. And she emailed me the next day and she was like, thank you so much for, you know, uncovering this inspiration in me by finding these things in my hands that say that I really should be making things with them in order to, you know, satisfy that piece of myself. And so, you know, that motivation really, really made me feel great. Because I know that she is now on, you know, a happier path. Let's see. So there's a lot of that. Teachers. I see a lot of teaching gifts in hands. And I feel like teachers don't get enough recognition for their gifts in the world. And so I love seeing them light up. Because a lot of times I don't know what people do when they come to me. I look at their hands and I say, oh, this fingerprint says you might, you know, be a leader in some kind of like wisdom, which usually means teaching. And they'll light up and be like, oh my gosh, I'm a teacher, and feel really special for that being marked on them.
That's wonderful. What about decisions concerning relationships?
Relationships are a tricky business. So I'll do couples readings and I always have to read the people's energy to decide if I want to go there. I kind of work backwards in terms of relationships. So they're the last thing I do. And oftentimes those will come up in the hand before we get to that point. But definitely people take that part too seriously. And the one thing about hands that I do want to say is that all of this is based on free will. Like everything is based on free will. If you see something you don't like, you can change it in yourself or in your life. But relationships definitely are there. I have my divorce showing, and for some reason that just makes me so happy. I think it's so cool. It's it looks like a Y, kind of like that medium mark I was talking about, but on the other side of my hand underneath the pinky. But thankfully I phrase it in a way where the relationships marked on our hands are the most impactful relationships, not necessarily marriages. So, you know, there's a little room for interpretation amongst that.
Because relationships could also be learning experiences for us if we choose to take the lesson.
Oh, for sure. And the impactfulness of those learning experiences are going to be, you know, different. It could be a short relationship that was actually a huge learning experience in your life.
I can absolutely speak to that one, and that'll be for another time in another place. What would you like your audience to take away from Handful of Stars?
I really want people to find inspiration in their hands. I want them to connect with other people by looking at hands. I really just think it's fun, it's entertaining, it's insightful, and just learn something and be open to that wonder that, you know, we have information printed on our bodies and we can learn from it. So, yeah, just be open.
And what's next for Helene Saucedo?
Oh, I don't know. I've got the book coming out October 15th, and I am just kind of hold on through that month. I have ideas for a second book in the same vein, not necessarily palmistry, but another tool, another spiritual tool for people to, you know, reflect upon their lives. And it's one that I use and that I'd like to share.
You had mentioned fingerprints. Anything about a fingerprint book coming out?
Maybe, but honestly, it's the crossover between palmistry and astrology I'd really like to dive into. So if the world is ready for that, then, you know, let's do that.
Absolutely. My guest, Helene Saucedo, she's the author of the brand new book and kit, Handful of Stars, a Palmistry Guidebook and Hand Printing Kit. Helene, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get this and find out more about you and your work.
Sure. It's available online, anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, any bookseller like that. It's a special sales book, so wholesale shops will carry it as well. Just Google Handful of Stars Palmistry Guidebook and Hand Printing Kit. I'm available online at handfulofstarsreadings.com, where I have a booking schedule site. If somebody's looking for an appointment and it doesn't come up there, just shoot me an email on the website at the contact form. And then on Instagram is my kind of home base. So that is @handfulofstars_readings. There's also a link in my bio on Instagram to a newsletter, which always has a list of events that I'm going to be working. So I'm based in the South and I do a lot of events there, but I will be going to New York in October 22nd, 23rd, to be doing some events there. So if anybody's interested in that, definitely reach out to get on my newsletter.
Helene, thank you so much for joining us. This is a wonderful work. And like I mentioned earlier, this would make a wonderful holiday gift.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.